Hi, Wastelanders. I'm Sean, your host. With me is Cody, my co-host. Hello. Welcome to the Utopian Wasteland. There is a lot to talk about with AI.
Is there?
There really is. Thank you. Well, thanks for asking, because yes, there is, kids. So I'm going
to... Gosh, golly, gee, what are you going to tell us about today?
We're going to discuss the letters A and I.
Oh, no.
So what is AI anyway? In having some conversations, I find some people aren't really sure what AI is. What they do consistently, I hear, is that people are worried about what it is. And they're worried that if they know at all what it is, they're worried about it becoming sentient and basically taking over. And the big question will be, will we really know when AI is sentient? And what does that even mean? So we're going to talk about that stuff today. Okay, so I'll back up for a minute. I realize many people don't fully understand just what AI is. So let's start with some simple definitions. In short, AI stands for artificial intelligence, which is actually what it sounds like. Basically a computer program that can think, but in a limited way. So, however, there's actually three different kinds of AI, the major kind. And then there's some subcategories under each of those. Easy for me to say. But these are the basics. So,
professional.
Yeah, very professional here. Yeah. So the first basic category, major category, is artificial narrow intelligence. So, or weak AI, it's also been referred to. And at the moment, this is the only type of AI that actually, for sure, exists. Narrow AI. It can be trained to perform a single kind of a task, often faster and better than a human mind can. But that said, they can't go outside of programmed parameters. Things like Apple's Siri, Amazon's Alexa, even OpenAI's ChatGPT are all considered narrow AI, because of their limits in being able to just chat or bring you results you specifically ask for. They're limited to a single task like text-based chat. I'll come back to OpenAI and their latest ChatGPT in a moment. Now, the next AI, the next type, is artificial general intelligence, or AGI. Now, so far, this is still theoretical, though some say we're getting closer. AGI is different in that it can learn from previous experiences to handle a new situation without more human interaction. So like a human, it actually learns. Theoretically, it would be able to handle any intellectual task that a human can. We're not necessarily talking about sentience yet, even at that step, but it is the first step toward that. But we haven't really achieved it yet. And then the final major step is super AI, or artificial super intelligence.
I prefer Captain AI, personally.
Captain AI. Is that a thing?
Did you just make that up?
So
you
now
said
it's
super AI.
Super AI. Yep, okay. Well, anyway. Artificial super intelligence is very theoretical at this point, but it would be the stage where it surpasses human ability to learn, reason, and think for itself, even to the point of feeling emotions, having desires and beliefs, and having personal needs. Basically, probably what we would call being sentient. Kind of a thinking, living being at that point. So sentience is defined as the ability to feel sensations, touch, taste, etc. This can include emotions. At that point, we could use the word consciousness too, which also includes creativity. So we know that narrow AI can be programmed to process information and communicate with us or even react to programmed situations. However, can it ever truly feel, and will we know? It can be self-aware to a point, but at what point do we call it a being with rights? Yeah, and now it's like, I don't know, what do you think? Have you given this thought, or have you just kind of avoided?
Well, no, I this is one thing I love to think about a lot. I don't know if we'll ever fully reach the point of quote-unquote sentience, but honestly, I'm not certain.
Yeah, well, you're not alone. There's a lot of the people who work with us every day who feel the same. It's like, I don't know that we're ever going to get there. Maybe.
It is a huge maybe.
Yeah, it's a really big maybe. I mean, some are convinced that it just won't be possible with a computer, but whenever I hear somebody say, well, this isn't going to be possible, then I become even more leery of what they're saying, because so many, we'll never walk on the moon. Man can never fly. Well, guess what? We did both. So, yeah, I don't know. And the big trick will be, how do we know the difference? I mean, I've watched some of these humanistic robots that talk about having emotions. You know, Amica. They've asked Amica, you know, what makes you mad? And she can talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, things that anger her. But is she really feeling anger, or is this a programmed response that she's come up with? I don't know. So honestly, an AI agent or AI software becoming truly sentient may not even be possible, but it can be so convincing in its responses and actions that it has already made people think that it's happened, and this was experts. In 2022, a Google engineer came to believe the chatbot generator that he and others were working on, called Lambda, had become sentient. The rest of the team disagreed. I believe he got fired. There was a lot of big dust-up that went with it. Then an article in Popular Mechanics in April of 2024 stated that a stunning new AI has supposedly achieved sentience. They were talking about Anthropic's Claude 3. Anthropic, your favorite business name ever. Anthropic is an AI safety and research company based in San Francisco. Of course, then that theory got shot down, the theory that it was sentient, got shot down by many, including, as it turns out, the authors of the article. Even the engineers working on it don't think of it as sentient, but apparently they threw something in the programming that had nothing to do with anything else. They were giving it some task and then put something in there about pizza, and it called them out on it and says, why is there stuff about pizza in here? You know, so it was thinking enough to notice that some piece of information they'd given it was made no sense. But is that sentience? Probably not. Yeah, anyway. Now, a new study that is not yet peer-reviewed, and you and I haven't talked about this, mm-hmm. is claiming that ChatGPT 4.5 has passed the Turing test. Oh, maybe you and I have. I think we have talked about this a little bit. So you may ask, what is a Turing test?
What's a Turing test?
Hey, thanks. I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about the Turing test. Thanks for playing along. Mm-hmm. The basic premise is a human sits down and communicates via text or with a printed out piece of paper and communicates with both a human and a machine. So the test is for the first human to determine if they are talking to another human or talking to a machine. So previous tests on other AI chat apps usually scored a random chance of 50%. So they figure that's just kind of a baseline, 50-50, a person could kind of figure it out. And that was as good as they ever got. ChatGPT 4.5, however, just recently, was thought to be the human 73% of the time. It was thought to be the human more often than the actual human was. It was pretty convincing. And when it gets that convincing, then how do we know the difference between a machine and sentience? I don't know. So will AI ever get to the point of AGI, truly thinking like humans do? Well, will we reach super AI that surpasses humans? Again, that's a hard maybe. I don't know. I mean, if you're talking to a chatbot. Have you played with any of the chatbots that were out there?
Kind of.
I have not. How convincing were they that you're talking to a real person? Not at all.
At least to me.
Uh-huh.
But I also knew what to look out for, and I knew what I was doing.
Right. Yeah, and you knew right off the bat that you were in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have occasionally needed tech support through chat services. And there's been times when at first I thought I was talking to a person, and then after a few minutes I'm like, oh, this is a chatbot. you can start to tell when it has these little canned answers and things like that. So, going back to super AI, it's also the point where it is said that we have reached the singularity, the technological point of no return, where AI systems have surpassed humans in actual intelligence and are recreating themselves, taking it out of human hands. And while we are not there completely, I kind of wonder if we're at least at a point of technological no return. You know, there's scientists who think we may be as close as 12 months away to something like the singularity and artificial general intelligence. But I think we're certainly at a point where there's no going back.
Oh, no.
You know, we're way too far along. Yeah, we could be that
way
old,
too far down the rabbit hole.
Right. We could be the old man yelling at the cloud in the sky, but it's not going to change the cloud being in the sky. It's not going to change this technology. So here we are, everybody. And that's where I like to come back to, okay, so we know it's there. All we can do is decide and push our lawmakers to decide and other leaders to go, what are we going to do about it? What sort of laws and parameters are we going to put on the use of it? I mean, that's going to be very important. But unfortunately, even then, not everybody's going to follow those rules. It's just going to be a given. Well, anyway, so what is the big picture on all of this? AI software is quickly entering every business market you can imagine. Combining this now with robots and fully autonomous vehicles and automated factories and automated systems and in places, and you encompass the rest of the job market out there. All of this is in various stages of testing, developing, and even sales production, and we'll be talking about that more in some upcoming episodes. Many experts are saying that possibly by as soon as 2040, the combination is going to eliminate most jobs. I mean, think of that. 15 years from now, maybe most jobs will be gone. And that includes coders. You know, the people making the AI systems, they're being replaced already as well. So if we look at only at the AI systems, we'll see major human worker reductions in basic office work, banking and financial work, most coding, medical diagnostics, really anything that a person currently sits at a computer to do will soon be able to be done by AI. The result, however, could be more jobs opening in customer service and human interaction positions. For example, while lawyers will not be replaced, the paralegals and assistance staff may be. I mean, who's going to want to trust a robot or an AI to be their main lawyer? They're going to want an experienced human who can negotiate and do things, but with good resources at their... Not that we necessarily trust lawyers either, though. Yeah, no. I see the look on your face, and you're like, but even then. Yeah. You know, companies could also return to employing more humans for customer service work, and I have read of some businesses looking at bringing in robots, but they're not getting rid of staff. They're putting them into customer service and human interaction stuff better. And if they're smart, that's what they'll focus on doing. The parts that people want to personally interact with a human will hopefully stay, but the rest will likely be robotics and artificial intelligence. Of course, some jobs will be created by AI, but unlike changes in the past where you could retain or retrain factory workers to do a new task, the new tasks today will require considerable education, if they're needed at all. And frankly, the number of new jobs created will be vastly smaller than the number of jobs eliminated. Yet if we can figure out how to keep people fed and housed when there are no jobs for them, we have the chance to let humans focus on art, music, literature, philosophy, gardening, fishing, you know, whatever it is that a person is passionate about and would love to be able to pursue if they didn't have to worry about money. So we have that possibility of turning all of this around into a real positive thing for everybody as well. Things to think about. We'll see as it goes. I mean, I don't know. Any additional thoughts there?
The only thought I have is this is going to have to be a very fine balanced line.
Yeah.
It's not going to be an easy one, and I know it can be easily tilted one way or the other.
All too well, yeah.
But that's what we're going to have to be careful about.
Yeah.
Is how far do we tilt it one way?
Mm-hmm.
How far do we tilt it another way?
Right.
Should we just keep the line straight?
Right. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that's going to be decided company by company. You know, how much will they trust computers and robots and stuff to do a job? You know, is it economically feasible? From the things that I'm seeing, it's cheaper to have a robot than it is to have an employee. I mean, right now, I was reading last night that employment takes up about 30% of a company's overall budget. Yeah. Because it's not just their wages. You take their wages and then you add another 0.5%. And, you know, so say somebody's making $100,000 a year, it's going to actually cost the company anywhere from $125,000 to $150,000 a year because of work comp insurance. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of extra things that a company has to spend on an employee. So with all that in mind, quickly robots and computer systems become cheap. Yeah, what are they going to do with that? Yeah, so there's the things to be thinking about. And that's why we're here, to talk about this stuff and to get you thinking about it too and talking with your friends and family, and let's all be realistic about what's coming and what may be coming and what likely is coming. Well, anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you for joining us today, and please keep listening. If you like this podcast, please tell others and encourage them to listen. We'd really love to get our listener numbers up, and we want to spread this information to as many people as we can. Everyone needs to know this stuff. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. Then also subscribe to our YouTube channel, because I really want one of those YouTube subscriber plaque things. Yeah, help me get my plaque. I want my plaque. If you like what we're doing and want to help us create more, we invite you to become a patron on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And of course, we're also on social media, and you can find all of our links at utopianwasteland.com. Until our next episode, remember, you can ignore technology, but it won't ignore you.